Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we come to our second week in our Believe It or Not, It's in the Bible series. And last week we talked about King Solomon, who was willing to threaten cutting a baby in half to be able to reveal who the real mother of the baby was. And this morning we move into, of all things, a talking donkey. Well, where is this talking donkey story? But like so many books, is in a book of the Bible we pay so little attention to. Here we have the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, known as the Law. This is the foundation of the Bible. This is the foundation of the creation of the world in God's covenant with God's people. And we know so many stories out of the book of Genesis. We know so many of the stories out of the book of Exodus with Moses as leadership. But then we so rarely look at Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Numbers. We often find them boring. Leviticus is all full of laws, and who wants to spend their day reading laws? Deuteronomy, the second telling, repeats much of the same stories of Exodus, but from a slightly different point of view. And here Numbers is perceived just by its name as the book that is counting people and counting stuff. But within this book of Numbers is also some incredible stories of the Israelites and the journey that they took. When we reach this point in Numbers, God's people are wandering through the wilderness, waiting to get into the promised land. Along the way, we see the death of Miriam, Moses' sister. We see the death of Aaron, Moses' brother. And then short of the promised land, we see the death of Moses, his consequence for doubting and disobeying God, that he would never make it into the promised land. But here what we have left is the second generation, not the generation that lived in Egypt under Pharaoh's rule and Egyptian influences, but the next generation that had only known wilderness wandering and complete and total dependence on God. And here they're moving their way through, getting to the promised land. This entire people that is like a swarm moving across the desert. And everywhere they came, as they moved into Canaan, under God's command and God's watchful eye, they found themselves successful in conquering cities and successfully moving forward towards their destination. Now, two lands, the Amorites and the Moabites, were to be protected, considered God's people coming through the generations that followed Lot, related to Abraham. But the Amorites, out of fear, tried to conquer the Israelite people and were conquered in the meantime. And then Moab was next, under the rule of King Balak. He began to fear the swarm of Israelites that were coming. And to despite God's protection that was supposed to be there, of them just moving through to get to their destination, he, as king, needing power and needing stuff, thought these people are going to move through, and when they get here, they are going to deplete us of all of our resources, and we can't have that. It's fear, it's power, like we see in Lord Farquaad in Shrek. Not liking who he was seeing invading his kingdom, these fairy tale characters, he must get them out so he can keep his place secure on the throne. So oftentimes, threat of power, threat of stuff, threat of resources is the cause of wars and conflicts and unfortunate situations. Well, here God's people are coming, and Balak is shaking in his boots. So what does he call for? He calls for a seer, a prophet, not one of God, but of other gods. His name is Balaam. And he's got the reputation of being a prophet who could speak and had power. So he sends princes with money to go and hire him to come back and be able to foresee what's happening and to help them to overcome this swarm of Israelites coming their way. But as the request for his presence and help comes in, the message comes from God to Balaam of don't even touch this. Don't go there, don't help them, just say no. And being a smart man at this point, Balaam says no. Well, the princes come back to the king and say he refuses. So what does the king do? He sends higher level princes and more money. They come to Balaam. They flash before his eyes what he can't pass up. And despite God saying, don't go there, don't help them, don't be a part of this, Balaam goes. And in our scripture that Jairo read, what do we find out? But as he is going where he is not supposed to, as he is going where God has said, don't go, and he is going anyways, we find along the path of all things an angel of God. Why? Because God doesn't just speak once. If God has God's mind set on something, God is going to do everything God can do to make it happen. And so God puts this angel in Balaam's path. But it is not Balaam that gets to see the angel. Who is it that gets to see the angel but his donkey? And the donkey seeing the angel and knowing that the angel is a danger to Balaam's life tries to steer him away, tries to stop him from continuing on his path. And what does Balaam do? He beats his donkey. And they get back on the path. And the angel appears again. And again, the donkey tries to steer Balaam away. He's trying to help him to get back on the path, to try to go back and be safe from God by following what God has said. And again, Balaam beats the donkey for its disobedience. A third time, it happens. And what happens on this third time, what feels a little unbelievable in our Bible, but God opens the mouth of the donkey and the donkey speaks, "Why in the world are you beating me?" Now, interesting to note, Balaam doesn't seem surprised at all that his donkey is talking to him. This seems a little strange. I mean, if all of a sudden Captain or Parker's mouth opened and words came out, I would probably fall over in shock, believing that I must be hallucinating because dogs don't talk. And as we know, donkeys don't talk. But what happens? Because the donkey opens his mouth, because God's words come through to challenge Balaam. And Balaam's eyes are opened to see the angel before him. Balaam is able to turn around, to go back where God wants him, and to be obedient. Why in the world would this story be in the Bible? Why in the world do we have this talking animal? Well, one, to say, it's not the first example of a talking animal, right? Just go to the third chapter of the Bible, and what do we find but a talking animal in the form of a serpent? But in this case, the talking animal is not speaking for God and trying to help God's people, but in this case is actually speaking against God and steering Adam and Eve away from obedience. But here the donkey, of all things, is the one who is the seer, the one who can see the presence of God through the angel on the path, that can act as a prophet to try to help Balaam make the right decision and to follow obediently to God, and is able through God's help to speak up where speaking was needed. The donkey, you see, can see what Balaam can't. We sometimes find that in our lives, where we are caught in a situation when we are so focused on something that we need or something that we are determined to do that we can't see what's right in front of us, that we can't see the danger that's coming, that we can't see the potential consequences, that we can't see that this is not the path that God desires for us. And maybe we start to hear it from others, warnings of the path that we're on, warnings that we need to make better decisions, words that tell us, stop and think about this. But our determination and our needs and our own heart can get the better of us, like Balaam. But his donkey, like the donkey in Shrek, is eagerly and willingly trying to help him. But Balaam, what's one of his biggest problems is that he's worried most about Balaam and how Balaam is perceived. Why does he go? Because the prestige of the princes that are sent and the amount of money that he can get out of it. Why does he get so angry at the donkey? Not because the donkey hurt his foot, not because the donkey was trying to get him off the path, but he chastises the donkey because the donkey has embarrassed him and made him look bad. Such a human action. That need to be perceived in positive light, to be seen well by other people, and that can so cloud our judgment and can make it so that we can't see those who are under us or lower than us or usually invisible to us and what they are trying to do for us. Balaam is questioning the donkey and the donkey's actions, when what should Balaam be doing but questioning the path that he is on, questioning why it is that he is going someplace that God has clearly told him not to go. But God still uses Balaam. God, because of the donkey, and because of Balaam eventually listening, God is faithful to help steer him and continue to be with him. It's once again realizing that our God is not a God of last chances. God is not a God that says, you're on this path, now you gotta walk it, even if it takes you off a cliff. God says, I allow U-turns. And if you realize you're going the wrong way and desire to repent and turn back, I will help you and I will bless you. You see, paths are so often talked about in the Bible. So many times in Psalms and Proverbs, it talks about two paths. One path that has blessings and one path that has curses. and the challenge of which path we will take. If we look at Psalm 119, it helps us to see these paths, as Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God says, "I will shine on the one that you're supposed to go." But you have to open your eyes and your heart and your faith to see that light. And sometimes that light will come through unexpected places. A talking donkey, an unexpected friend, news that we think is bad, but it's actually what we need to hear. What are we paying attention to? Are we paying attention to the signs that God gives us and is putting around us? Or are we focused inward on our own mission, our own desires, our own image, and we're missing the point of where we need to be and where we need to be going? God's voice is out there. God's voice, like through the donkey, is screaming out to us to help us, to protect us, to guide us, to encourage us, and to save us most of all from ourselves. It might be crazy to think about a talking donkey and a donkey that talks back. But it's not just a Shrek, DreamWorks type of plot. It's right here in our holy scriptures, reminding us that God is everywhere and in everything, right there with us. So let's seek to have hearts, minds, and lives of obedience, and choosing at each fork in the road to follow the path that God gives us. With that, will you pray with me? God of all the world, so oftentimes our ears are closed, our eyes are shut, and our hearts are guarded, that we have this stubbornness and determination to go the path that we think is best. But you, through your Holy Spirit, are trying your best to wake us up, to open our ears and eyes and hearts, to see that where we are headed is a dangerous road. And maybe the path that we're to be on isn't the most popular. Maybe it's a little rockier. Maybe it's a little darker. Maybe its destination is unknown. But you, God, are the one that chooses it. You, God, are the one that knows what's on the other side of it. You, God, are the one that knows that we are strong enough, smart enough, and capable enough to take that path if we will just have faith to follow you. May we have faith. May we have ears that hear, even in the strangest of places, to hear your voice and to see your calling. For all this, we pray in your holy name. Amen.